received a package in the mail delivered by that blue truck with a smile on it. Yes, we've all received packages. Have you ever, and I know you have, received a box, a package, and it's like a sturdy, nice, large box. Lily's telling someone about a box she received one time over there. Right? You received it, and you open it, and there's all this packaging and padding, and out comes the $2.69 nail clipper you ordered on Amazon. Yes, I've ordered a nail clipper on Amazon. 2017, we were getting packages 3 times a day. UPS, the Amazon Smile Truck, and USPS, as we replaced many things, and I ordered a nail clipper. Well then, have you ever received a package? I know you have. And the package looked really horrible. Bad condition, weak, flimsy, not much packing, but inside was something far greater value than $2.69. Happened to me recently. I ordered a snowboard. It showed up. The box was clearly 2 boxes taped together to make the box long enough. There was not enough packaging inside. The cardboard was weak and flimsy. And it was not a $2.69 item. I was concerned to pull it out, make sure it was okay, looking at this box. And when I saw such little flimsy packaging, padding, air puffy things inside, I was like, oh my goodness, really? I mean, the price I paid for the thing, it should have came in a wooden crate with metal hinges. I could have opened it and it was all padded in perfectly form-fitting dark-colored foam. But no. My nail clipper was packed way better. You ever have that happen? Packaging just didn't fit what was inside? That's the paradox of Christianity. God becomes a man and he's born in an animal shelter? To a poor couple? Only people there are smelly shepherds? Not how we plan it. That's certainly not how our rich and famous people travel and go about, unless they're trying to hide. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem fitting, but that was God's plan. And as the Savior himself then said to the disciples, specifically the apostles, a servant is not above his master, disciple not above his teacher. As they treated me, so they'll treat you. And so par for the course was his apostles getting the opposite treatment, having the opposite kind of circumstances in this life than you might expect of heralds of the God-man. Deity taking on flesh. And so it is for the Christian life. The realities, the eternal divine realities of the Christian life do not match the current, finite, fleeting circumstances. They don't match. But that is God's plan, God's design. We're going to see that in our passage this morning in 2 Corinthians. And what should happen when we are done is we should be severely challenged and, Lord willing, flipped, changed in our thinking about and our view of our circumstances, our situations and our realities. Present, physical, in this life. Join me in prayer, then I'll read the passage. Father, thank you for your word. Speak to us now by your mercy because of the work of Christ through the ministry of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I will start in verse 6, but our passage is 7 through 12. 4:6, 2 Corinthians, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you." There it is in verse 7. There's that paradox. By the way, what is a paradox? A seemingly contradictory situation, something that seems like those two things can't exist, yet they do. You know, Lightning McQueen, turn right to go left. Or those finger handcuffs you get in Chinatown. You think, let me pull my fingers out. That makes sense, but they only get tighter. Got to push your fingers together, right? It's a contradictory situation that doesn't make sense, doesn't seem to be, and yet it is. And here it is in verse 7. We, all who have faith in Christ, all Christians, all children of God, God has shown in our hearts, the one who said, let there be light physically, has said, let there be light, understanding, faith in Christ in the heart of some, His children. What a reality. We know from other passages in 1 Corinthians that the very Spirit of God, the third person, God the Holy Spirit, dwells in the Christian. Paul tells the Corinthians, the same ones to whom he's writing in this letter, do you not know that you are a temple of God? Individually, and as the church. God, who has no beginning and no end, dwells in the Christian because of the work of Jesus Christ. And to come to believe in Jesus is to behold the glory, the splendor, the magnificence of God. What a treasure, a gift, what value that is. And yet, it's contained in, packaged in, verse 7, jars of clay. Some of you may remember there was a musical group, Christian group by that name, right? What's jars of clay? This is a little foreign to us because we don't keep our things in jars in the house. I mean, you might have the glass jars, the canning jars, or I have coffee beans in this glass kind of jar thing with a little metal lever that, you know, kind of helps keep the air out, right? And I do that because I value my coffee beans. And I want them to stay oily. I don't want them dried out, so I want to keep the air off of them. And because I value them, I put them in that type of jar. I don't put them in some kind of paper container that lets the air in and out, right? In other words, it's a container. A jar is a container. And back in their day, a jar of clay is cheap, common. You don't put something you want to preserve or care for in such a jar. You put it in something made of maybe bronze. Or better yet, you're going to keep your treasure, keep it in gold. But no, the treasure that is knowing the only true God through Jesus Christ. The treasure that is being a Christian and having the Spirit of God dwell in us is in, it's an analogy here, jars of clay. Cracked pots. Common, weak, unimpressive, not anything to look at, vessels. That's really strange promotional packaging, isn't it? You know, especially with all the printers we have and the abilities we have, there's a promotional packaging has come a long way, and you can get things and the package is almost as cool as what's inside. I have this cool metal reusable box that a watch came in, actually the watch I'm wearing, all right? And it's gray and I like gray, and you open this metal box and there's this dense dark foam that held the watch. It's fitting. It's cool. I like it. Right? But you can also like go to Walmart and, you know, pick one off the metal hanger, and then you have to figure out how to get a razor blade or a scissor to cut that plastic form-fitting thing open and not cut the watch, and it's just junk, right? And, but, you know, we're talking about a $10 Walmart watch compared to a, I don't remember what this cost, Macy's watch or whatever it was. But, you know, promotional packaging, it has a metal box that I still have to this day. But I've had $10 Walmart watches, and the plastic thing, you just throw it away because the packaging is nothing, right? We get it. But we don't get this. This is not how we would design things. We don't put valuable things in cheap, flimsy boxes. But this is God's design. Just as the coming of God the Son was in an animal shelter. No room in the inn. Among the animals and shepherds. No royal reception. Just as that is a situation that we would never have designed or had it that way. Contradiction that's actually true, a paradox. So too is the Christian life. We are flimsy, weak, crushed, holes in certain spots, boxes, jars of clay, for a purpose. Second part of verse 7. To show that. In other words, this is God's design. The treasure of being children of God is contained in even less than common looking people with typical situations or worse than typical situations, so that, or to show that, the surpassing power, the might, the ability belongs to God and not to us. Well, this sounds very similar to what he said already in chapter 1, verse 9. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. See, God places His Spirit in crackpots like you and me, that His power would be made known. To the cracked pot, to the Christian, to the individual, as well as to others. How? How does this work? Verses 8 through 9. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. You know, afflicted. Things are impeding our path, blocking us. There's obstacles, but not stopped. That's the reality for the Christian. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Idea of there's loss here, but we're not bankrupt. I had an opportunity, didn't realize it until it happened, to communicate that. October 2017, standing in the driveway among the burnt shell of our car and melted rims and everything else, 6 inches of gray ash, speaking with the insurance adjuster, walking around, talking. He says, well, you're handling this pretty well. I said, this isn't my home. My home is with Christ. That's some pretty significant loss, particularly the irreplaceable items like photo albums, old school type, home videos. There's loss, but I'm not bankrupt. Maybe you've lost a loved one or someone close to you died. We've buried people recently. Jobs. Now we're losing freedoms and opportunities. But for the Christian, there's loss, but we're not bankrupt. Persecuted. In other words, disdained, hated, rejected. But not forsaken. Not alone. What did Jesus say? Go to the ends of the earth, and I am with you. I am with you. What does Romans 8 say? Nothing can separate the Christian from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Neither height nor depth, neither angels nor demons, sword, nothing. And the last one there in verse 9, struck down, hit hard, bleeding, but not dead yet. That reality is the Christian's reality. Now, Paul is making clear to the Corinthians that that's his reality by God's design. As an apostle, that's his reality. And though the Corinthians are sort of well off and at ease at that point in time, we could look to other scriptures to see in Philippians and 2 Timothy and 1 Peter that suffering and trials are the reality. Par for the course for the Christian life. And that's not an accident, and that's not because God is mean and unkind, but it is part of His design to make His power known to the Christian. That the Christian would not rely on him or herself, but upon God. That we would know the power of God at work in us. You don't need power if you don't have problems. Paul prays for the Ephesians twice in his letter to them. And he said, and he prays for the Christians in Ephesus that God would enlighten the eyes of their heart, that they would understand the breadth and the depth of the love of God in Jesus Christ together with all the saints, and they would know His power at work in him through the Holy Spirit. Same power that God worked when He raised Jesus from the dead. Want to know that power? Yeah, but I want that power to look like, you know, something from the Avengers. Or I want that power to look like, I need a jet! I'm going to get me a jet! Name a jet! The God's going to give me a jet! Yes! I'm going to get a jet! Yeah! That's what we want it to look like! Oh no, we don't want it to look like that here. We're much more subtle and refined. The day isn't going as we want it to do, and we think, God, what's going on? I've been doing what you want. I even read your word this morning. I got this ailment. I got this problem. I just lost this. This is going on. That person basically just spit in my face. Lord, what's going on? See, we're thinking there's something wrong here. This doesn't match. But that is the exact packaging God designed for the Christian's life. That the Christian would know His power. You would get rid of COVID in a second if you could. It's here by the will of God. You want to know what He's doing in the midst of COVID? Come on Thursday. You would get rid of COVID. You would get rid of what seemed like the premature death of your loved one. Ailments, physical decline. You'd get rid of it in a second. Friends not really being your friends after all. Feeling alone and deserted. You'd get rid of it in a second. In other words, God, get off that throne. It's my throne. Let me drive. Get out of the front seat. Back seat. Let me have control. I know what I'm doing. You don't put a $369 snowboard in a piece of junk box. And you don't put a $3.69 nail clipper in such a nice box. I mean, after all, if God dwells in me, that should be seen by the fact that everything goes in life the way I want it to go. And I look good doing it. I actually read one time a pastor in a poor area said he drives a Rolls Royce so that the people would know that God blesses his people. No such verse. No such verse. God displays his power to his people through circumstances they would never want. Trials, tribulation, persecution. And yet, they are not destroyed, not stopped, not crushed, never alone. This is his plan, to demonstrate his power, that his power might be made known first to the Christian. First to the Christian. Verse 10 gives us another image. We've got the image of clay pots, which we're not really used to. And someone came up with the extra analogy that if you take a cheap clay pot, it's going to have imperfections, cracks, holes. You put that over a light source, like a light bulb or a candle, and you'll have light from it. But you take a solid bronze vessel, vase, container, whatever, put that over a candle or a light source, you won't see nothing. In other words, if you were coming up with a cool lamp idea, and you had a nice LED light bulb, and all you had was a ripped up, junky, hole in it kind of box, or this nice, solid metal container that something cool came in, you cover the light with the solid metal box, no one can see the light, you don't see the light. You put the cracked, flawed, weak box over it, light shines out. That's an added analogy that someone else came up with to understand how God works through clay pots, crack pots, weak vessels with imperfections and holes. But 10 gives us another image for us to carry around with us, pun intended. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. Here's the image for you. If you're a Christian, you got a corpse on your back. Jesus' corpse. You ever hold a baby and the baby's awake and the baby falls asleep and you know the baby fell asleep because he's just got three times as heavy? It's like the head just gets heavier. All of a sudden you're like, wow, what happened? You know, the 7-pound baby feels like it's about 35 pounds. You know, because a sleeping person, an unconscious person, a corpse, is really heavy. Give a person a piggyback ride and it's kind of hard. Now give the person a piggyback ride and say, okay, totally, completely relax. They get heavier, harder to carry. The Christian life involves carrying a corpse around all the time. You're going to be tired. You're going to be weary. Everything's more difficult. You're hunched over when everyone else is standing up straight. Things are more challenging for you when it seems like everything's going smooth for them. But this is so that, the end of verse 10, the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Someone carries someone around piggyback. Oh, that's kind of impressive. Someone carrying around a corpse. They're going to need strength and power beyond them. Notice also in verse 10, always. Always. That was a hard lesson for me to learn. It took me years to realize on Monday, which is my weekend, the trials, the challenges, and the difficulties don't stop, and I don't get to just be free and relaxed and fun and live for me. Always. Someone one time asked me here, do we ever get a vacation from being holy? No. And really, why would we want to? But when we're in the midst of it, we want to. Right? Always. Always. But then this is not only God's design so that the individual Christian would know that, man, I'm getting through this by the power of God. He's got me covered. He's got my back. But that others would know this and see this too. Verse 11, for we who live are always, there's that word again, always being given over to death. Now the image is this. The Christian is always walking up the steps to the gallows, taking the last stride down to the execution room. That's the Christian's life. There was Jesus' life, whole life headed for the cross. It's what the apostles were to expect, what Paul faced, and the Corinthians were just scratching their head. You're unimpressive to look at, you're weak. Everywhere you go, Paul, you've got issues. You seem to make more enemies than friends. Not sure you're really an apostle, unlike the ones we have. They just exude life and health and everything going smoothly. Prosperity. But he says, always, for we who live, wait, don't we all live? No. This is the living that only the Christian can do. We who are alive in Christ are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh, in these bodies, in these jars of clay, crack pots, weak, flimsy, ripped boxes, packaging, that Jesus would be made manifest, would be shown, would be displayed. Boy, you're taking this pretty well. Everything you own, including irreplaceable items, were gone in half an hour. Yeah. That's not my life, Jesus is. The Christian, any Christian, can say that. In the face of great loss, they're not bankrupt. In the face of physical beatings, another pastor, but most recently, pastor in India, baptized some people, gets shot. Guess what? He dead, but he ain't dead. We're so concerned with keeping this life going and preserving this life, but it will end, then what? And even if you make it to 120, you will be dead for far longer than you ever lived. The life that is eternal is in Christ. And He gives that life into His own, His people, who carry it around, looking dead, treated like the dead. But that's God's design, that the individual Christian and others might see the power of God. He makes this even clearer in verse 12. He says, so death is at work in us, him and Timothy and the apostles, but life in you, he says to the Corinthians. In other words, you think I'm the opposite of what I should look like. No, I look exactly like I should look. And my circumstances are exactly as they should be. Because God has designed it this way, just like He did with the birth of God the Son. The death of God the Son. So too as apostles, so too for Christians. That life might be at work in others. Again, this is not how we think, right? You've probably thought at some point in your life, boy, if only so-and-so would become a Christian. Maybe it's someone liked and powerful and influential at work or school or in the media, Hollywood, musician. If that person would come to Christ, boy, then others would what? They would see someone who already has everything they don't have. But what demonstrates the power of God is when ordinary people face the ordinary and extraordinary challenges and trials and sufferings in this life, but are not beaten down and knocked out by it. Instead, continue on knowing that in them dwells the greatest treasure of all, eternal life through faith in Christ. That's something that is supernatural. That's how God displays His people to, His power to and through His people. The opposite of what you and I think or how you and I would design it. So if you're a Christian, stop thinking that for every movement of your hoe and every seed you plant, you're going to get abundant crop and fruit. Right? What should farmers have expected after Genesis chapter 3? They should expect they would sweat and labor, and instead of getting a bunch of crop and produce, they would have thorns and thistles, trials. Things wouldn't go right. This isn't pessimism, but it's realism. It's only pessimism if you don't know the maker of heaven and earth. If you think that this is life, this is it. So grab it while you can. But when you know that this isn't it, when you know that Christ, who is your life, will appear, and that He said, as they treated me, so they'll treat you. And yet, in the very circumstances and situations and realities you don't want, that's when you'll know my power. We have a different view of life. Well, we should have a different view of life. Physical ailments, trials, rejection, persecution, COVID issues, whatever it might be, those are the cracks in the pot or the holes in the box or the container through which the light of God is to be shown, displayed, manifested, made known. When we face things that we know we don't want to face, and we're able to bear up and get through it, we know that's the power of God. And others see it and scratch their head. And we say it's the power of God. That's His design. His ways are not our ways. We're celebrating Christmas. Not how we would design God becoming a person, a man, born as a baby, and showing up on earth. Never come up with that. It follows through. So too for the master, so too for the servants. So for the teacher, so for the disciples. Our problems aren't the problem. It's our perspective. Our problems are opportunities to know the power of God at work in us and for the power of God to be seen at work in us and through us. It's the paradox of Christianity. From the birth of Christ to the ministry of His apostles and the ministry of His church. Opposite of how we think about packaging. But that's how He designed it. Let's pray. Father, again, forgive us for thinking that we're so smart and wise and we know how things should be. And yet on the one hand, there's nothing wrong for wanting health, life, peace, fruitful productivity. That's coming. We sang, O come, Emmanuel. He has come for the salvation of His people, and He will return for the full experience of salvation for His people and the judging of the living and the dead. And He will bring about that which is far greater than we could even imagine. for life. Have mercy upon us that we would have an eternal perspective. That indeed knowing You and Jesus Christ would be the most valuable thing to us. And that we would understand Your design for making Your power, Your glory and beauty known. That we would see problems as opportunities, trials and difficulties as a chance to rely on You and know Your power. To know we're powerless and not rely on ourselves. And that others might come to know the greatest treasure of all. Eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. Father, grant this, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Send you off with the closing verses of Jude. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. You're dismissed.